This is the What to Live For podcast for Thursday, June 25th, 2020. Hello and welcome back to another episode of the What to Live For podcast. And today I'm talking to my friend Jody. You can find Jody on Instagram at losingmoreofjody. That's losingmoreof_Jody. I really had a lot of fun recording this episode. Jody's one of those people that I've been following. I want to say not more than a year. I think I met her through. I think she was on Daryl's podcast at one point, and I just like instantly like connected to what her message was. We talk a lot about her background in school and like athletics and academics, and we talk about her weight loss journey, and then we get really deep, a really deep dive into self-help and self-development books. And I really enjoyed having a conversation with her. I hope you guys enjoy this as well. Like I said, if you want to follow Jody on Instagram, you can follow her on Instagram at losingmoreofjody. And I just want to get right into it. So with that, we'll just get right into the episode.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good.
Do I got this right?
Yep.
Okay.
I can hear you perfectly fine.
Awesome. Okay.
So how are you doing? How about
that? There we go. That's a lot better. All right.
You're a pro at podcasting. You should already have this already down.
I hope so.
How's your Sunday going?
So far, so good. Went and got some plants. So working outside as much as possible.
I think that's what everybody's doing now between all this quarantine stuff is they're like, let me go outside and do some gardening because I want to make my house look a lot better.
Exactly. A lot of outdoor honeydew lists and stuff getting done. So.
No, exactly. So I wanted to bring you on a podcast because I first listened to your actual podcast that you put out. And I was like, she's very knowledgeable about what she wants in her life. And like, you put everything out there and you like, you don't hold anything back. And sorry, I can't talk today. I wanted to know where the whole idea for the podcast came about.
Honestly, I just started listening to like everybody. Mm-hmm. And, I know you know of Daryl Perry. He actually is like, you should do a podcast. And yeah. I was like, well, I don't know what I'm doing. But then he gave me the Anchor app and it's very like quick, easy for me to use. And, honestly, that's where it started. And I was like, what do I do for my first episode? I don't know. And
that very anonymous, like first episode, you're like, I don't know what to talk about.
It's very nerve wracking. But then, you know, I was like, okay, my Instagram page is mainly all about my weight loss journey. So I figured that first one was just going to be kind of my journey story. Yeah. And it's gone from there, to be honest with you.
And I think that's how I started this one was I just basically started talking about just the weight loss journey that I was on back in 2018. And I just wanted to kind of make a diary or journal for all intents and purposes. But like, I can't do the whole solo thing. I just, it bugs me to sit here in front of a mic and just talk to the mic itself. So like I pivoted like, 6 months later into doing these interviews. And I just like the interview. I like talking to people and like talking about their stories and stuff like that. So I commend you for doing the solo stuff because I completely hate doing it.
You know, and it's funny because when I started doing it in my car, and it was basically from, I worked 45 minutes away during my first couple of podcasts. Yeah. So I was like, okay, hands-free, let's do this. So I started recording them actually in my car and it was kind of therapeutic on my way home. It made the drive go by faster.
Oh yeah.
But now, as weird as it sounds, I have done my podcast in the dark, sitting in my closet with no distractions because my house is very busy. And it's something calming about it. And it's like therapeutic for me. So like, from right now, that's where I've been doing it. I've been doing them. So
now I need to try that. Now, now that you said, I'm like, that does kind of make sense to just get in a dark place and just start talking about it, like whatever is on your mind.
Exactly. And it's like, I honestly feel like I envision people like just chilling and hanging out and just like having a conversation with me, and it just flows naturally. It's funny because like I always go in with a purpose of what my podcast will be for that day, and I never follow it. So.
Well, if you go back and listen to the ones I did in like December, because I did this whole Podmas series, like I did one episode every day up until Christmas, and I would like write something down, and then whatever I recorded was completely different than what I was going to actually record.
Oh yeah, for sure. And I used to, I commend you for doing one a day, because I even struggle right now getting at least one a week.
Yeah.
So I commend you for that.
Well, I mean, I've thought of the idea of doing multiple podcasts a week, but and somebody asked me this the other day. I think it was Valerie. She was like, "Why don't you just release multiple interviews a week?" And I'm like, that's like Joe Rogan level where you're just recording stuff and just releasing. I mean, I commend Daryl for doing it because he's doing it now with his
Oh, yeah.
Your Level Fitness one. But I'm just like, I can't like just bombard everybody with just podcast after podcast, like because I'll get on here and talk for an hour plus. And
Yeah.
if you're doing multiple ones a week, that's a lot. And I mean, Gary does it too. He does solo stuff.
I couldn't do that. Like I said, I'm trying really, like my goal right now is to try and at least do one, and Wednesday seems to be like the perfect day for me, expect I mean for my own podcast, but it's I that's my goal, is starting to get at least one every Wednesday. So
It's. I was just talking to Nikki before we started recording, and she's like trying to line up people for hers. But like, it's hard to even do one, especially if your content is based on you talking to people or you just recording it on your own. It's really hard to just like put something out every week.
Oh yeah, and I feel like it goes by so much faster when you're talking to somebody versus you just sitting in a closet
Oh yeah.
like me, and I'm like, okay, I'm running out of things to say, but then like I get this power trip and I'm like, oh no, I want to say this too. Yeah, and then I look down and I'm like, oh okay, I've got 30 minutes. I need to chill. So
Yeah. So,
okay.
do you ever want to do interviews or anything like that? Have you ever like thought about doing that? Because I know everybody's doing interviews now, so like it's
I've kind of, that's the thing, I've kind of thought about it. To me, I get really excited. So it's kind of like if I'm talking to somebody, I need to learn how to chill and be like, let them finish. So I think once I get that communication skill down, I think that's going to help a little bit more with
Yeah.
me. So I think eventually that's kind of where I'd like to go, because there are a lot of people, especially in the fitness community, that I would love to pick their brains. And I think that eventually that's, down the road, but baby steps at a time. So I'm gonna see about that. But I have had a couple of people be like, well, why don't you interview people? I'm like, I would love to. Gotta learn a few things first, so.
I think you learn by doing because I like when I started this whole interview portion of the podcast, I like if you go back and listen to that first one I did, I think it was like episode 18, I was nervous when I first did it because I talked to somebody I knew, but I was still nervous because I had a list of questions that I had like I wish I could I need to take a picture of this thing. I think I still have it, but it was like a steno pad of just like questions, and the pad was completely full of questions. And I think once I re like when I recorded the episode, I think I only used like maybe like five out of the whole thing of questions. So like I think you get better at talking to people by asking questions.
Yeah, practice makes perfect.
Yeah. So let's talk about your background. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Indiana. I am from a, it's bigger now, but when I grew up, the town was very small, in a bunch of cornfields surrounded, very big factory type community. Everybody either graduates and go to college, or everybody graduates and goes to a factory. But it was a really small town. And I lived with my mom and dad and my brother in a really, nowadays, houses are huge, but we lived in a, like, I think it was an 800 to 900 square feet
Oh,
house.
wow.
And we'd think at the time, it would be like, we'd be all over each other. But me and my brother were never inside. We were always outside. So Yeah, it was a very nice community. Everybody knew each other. Everybody knew everybody's business. Yeah, it was, I loved my childhood, and my parents would not let us in. They always wanted us outdoors anyway, but we never have any problem being outside. So, yeah.
So in general, what was your childhood like?
Getting into some deep stuff. It was a good upbringing, but it had some moments. My mom worked 2 to 3 jobs and my dad worked one job. However, at the time growing up, my dad had a gambling problem, and it really it was hard because then that made my mom have to work a lot harder. We were, I would say we were poor. Very low income family. I never knew it because my mom would make sure that we didn't realize things like that, which was amazing. It was amazing growing up like that. But yeah, I had a great, amazing relationship with my mom at the, when I was younger. But yeah, I mean, growing up, it was me and my brother, man, we are 13 months and 13 days apart. We had a wonderful relationship. And like I said, my mom was like the rock in the core of the family. So, yeah.
Are you the older sibling or the younger sibling?
Am the older one.
Yeah.
Okay. A fun fact, I was born on New Year's
Okay.
and my brother was actually born on Valentine's Day. So
Oh, wow.
it was interesting. I don't know how my mom and dad pulled that off, but it was pretty cool. You know, we have like a cool little thing like that, me and my brother. So,
So what was school like for you? Were you an academic, or were you into sports, or were you both? Because I've only known one person on this podcast that was like both, but were you more academic or more sports?
honestly, a little bit of starting off, I was very academic. They tested me for math and I excelled in math. I excelled in English. I excelled in history and things like that. But when it came to reading, I had a speech impediment when I was younger and I still actually do a little bit. I do stutter when I'm nervous. But I went through some reading classes and then I excelled in all of them. Once I got into high school, that's when the track started, the cross country started, the cheerleading started. Like I full went into sports and academics. So I graduated actually really high in my class and was able to go with a full ride to Michigan State and for a cross and I did cross country and track in Michigan State and cheerleading and so both actually worked out for my benefit.
Well, you're the
So
second person on the podcast that has done some kind of best of both worlds.
yeah, well, and that's the thing, like my mom always taught me, you know, you can't always go by academic or go by sports, you have to go by both.
Yeah.
So yeah.
So what got you into track and field and like all the other sports that you were doing? Like what got you into all that stuff?
So I think the thing with, okay, so I loved running. And running for me, even now when I'm getting older and can't do it as well as I could before, it clears my mind. The only thing that I think about when I was running back then was just running. And I have to watch my breath and I have to make sure that I'm, you know, on pace and things like that. Now that I'm older, running is therapeutic for me. Cheerleading was kind of a weird thing I got into, honestly. It was kind of one of those, hey, I'm a senior. I was not always a cheerleader. It was my senior year, and it was, hey, you know, why not try something new and put myself out there because I was kind of shy. And yeah, it kind of worked out for me. I enjoyed it a lot more than I thought. And I know everybody's like, ah, cheerleading is not a sport. Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
Woo! I mean, our coach was serious. She's like, you're running up the stairs of the gymnasium. And our gymnasium was actually filmed for the movie Blue Chips.
Okay.
It is a huge arena. It holds a lot of people. So imagine in cheerleading having to run all those stairs. So Yeah, but you know, running for me now versus then, back then it was more of a sport. Now it's more of therapy for me. So.
So, have you always been like that? That you always like to try new things, or are you just kind of you've gotten away from that?
So the thing is about me is that I put myself out there and I do it purposely. When I was older and went through therapy as my mom passed away, I was diagnosed with anxiety, I was diagnosed with depression, and I was diagnosed with OCD. And the therapist was like, "You need to do an exercise for me, put yourself out there." I was like, "Oh God, no, please. I don't want to do it." But it is actually, since I've done that, I have experienced a lot more things. I have put myself out there and met so many more people than I ever could imagine. And it's actually helped me with my anxiety and all that stuff because I'm not as anxious to talk to people. I'm not as anxious to meet new people and experience new things. So for me, it was an exercise given to me by a therapist, but hey, it's.
So what was college like for you? So you were doing academics and athletics in school. And so
Correct.
what was college like for you at Michigan State?
Yeah, well, when I graduated, I took a little bit of time off, about a year, and then I decided to go back to school. So first I went to school here in Indianapolis at IUPUI, and then I got sick and I had to take another year off. And then a college back way back when I was in high school, Michigan State actually headhunted me for their track team and their cheerleading team. And they said, "We would love to have you." But at the time, I already was committed to IUPUI. I didn't do any kind of sports at IUPUI. But what I did is kept that person's contact information. And then when I was ready to go back to school after I had gotten better and recovered, I went back to school. I was 22, around 22. So I was a little older. I've never really been crazy partier. But because at the time they actually offered me a scholarship at 22 to go back to Michigan State, I took it and ran with it. And I double majored because I was like, pay for it. I'm going to take the best of it. I'm fine with that. They said, as long as you keep up your grades and you can do your, you can do our track and cross country team and the cheerleading team, then by all means, you do you. And so I did have a full ride scholarship, but I did have other scholarships on top of that, but it was all academic scholarships. It wasn't, I, well, there was, I take that back. There was a cross country and track scholarship in there, but other than that, it was the academic that I had more. But I was very studious. I was a no messing around type person because I couldn't.
So
Yeah.
were you like very social, like even like before college, like high school and before, were you very social or were you kind of to yourself? 'Cause the what I get from you is that you seem like you're kind of an introvert and you kind of stick to yourself and
Oh,
like, okay. I kind of sense that from you that you are very like.
I like you said, I do, but I don't.
Okay.
I how can I put it? I'm very shy when you first meet me. But as soon as like 10 to 15 minutes go around and we start chatting, I can kick it, we can have fun, I will tell jokes, I will get to know you. I like to read people. I've been hurt a lot in my life, and that has built my guard up. And because of that, it takes me a little bit to actually open up to people. But once I do, you can't get me to really shut up. That's the thing. But I am, in definitely in elementary school, definitely in middle school, I was very quiet, very studious, didn't care to put myself out there. But like I said, like I try to put myself out there more now than I've ever done before, but I am still introvert. I still love being by myself. I get, it's kind of funny. It's if people understand a lot about, personal development and things like that, like in your mental health, I get very weighed down and tired when I'm around too many what, extroverts when they're a lot.
Yeah, I get that.
I will be so exhausted. I'll have to come home and sleep because I just, it's a lot to take on. And I love, and I've always been an empath. Like, I've always taken on other people's energies. And if you're sad, I'm sad with you. If you're happy, I'm happy with you. And, but it's a lot to take on. Yeah. So.
No, I totally get that because I'm more of an introvert than an extrovert, but I can play both sides. And then, like, I know when I'm starting to get drained because I'm like, all right, I'm getting like a little like upset and like, I need to take a break from everybody. So like, I'm going to go sit in a room by myself and just recharge.
Yes, definitely. That's exactly how I am. I'm like, okay, I just got to get away from everybody. Like, I'm done. I'm done with you people. I love you, but get away from me. I've got to, it feel like I'm having like an adult tantrum, but I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm obviously flinging my arms, but it's just like, I've got to recharge my battery. I can only give so much and I can only take in so much. So, yeah.
No, I totally get that.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about your weight loss journey. So has weight ever been like, has weight always been an issue for you, or is this something that has kind of came up in the last few years?
Okay. So growing up, no.
Okay.
Once I went through, you know, wonderful stages of puberty, yes, a little bit, but nothing extreme.
Mm-hmm.
High school, no problem. College, no problem, obviously. I was like, you would have thought I was doing weightlifting competitions back in college because I was very toned, very muscular, very fit.
Yeah.
But what happened is right before, I want to say that I had honestly a midlife crisis at 25. I had graduated college and I didn't know what was going on with my life. And there was an abusive relationship that I went through. And then my mom passed away. And then I went from this college athlete, very low body, you know, body fat percentage to 265 pounds. Yeah. And I put that on probably within a year. Wow. It was like, I gained probably more than 125 pounds. I want to say it bloomed on quick.
Yeah.
And a lot of that had to do with emotional eating, and definitely a binge eater. I was diagnosed with binge eating and, yeah, I would say around 25, that's when I got to my highest weight. So,
No, I mean, I get the whole, I was never diagnosed with binge eating or anything like that, but I know for me that binge eating and emotional eating were like the two biggest reasons why I got to like 492 pounds. It's because I never dealt with all that excess baggage.
And that's the thing, like, I get a lot of backlash or whatever. I'm 5'4". I'm short. Yeah. I'm barely 5'4". And 265 pounds may not seem like a lot to a lot of people, but for me, it was a lot of weight carrying. Because I should be, if you're going by healthy range, I should be 120 pounds if you go for that healthy range, but 265 pounds, and I held most of it on my stomach, which is always bad. They always say if you hold it in your stomach, that's a lot of heart disease and heart related issues. So going into like why I started my weight loss journey is my mom had passed away, and my mom passed away from a heart attack. She was completely healthy. She wasn't really overweight. And all of a sudden it was like, boom, she's gone. Like a massive heart attack. I talked to her at noon that day and she passed away at 3 p.m. that day.
Wow.
And I went to the doctors and I say 265 pounds because that's the last time I actually got on a scale. But to be honest with you, it probably was more than that.
Yeah.
I have one picture of myself at that weight, and I do use that for like my Instagram stuff. But yeah, I went to the doctors and the doctors, I'm already on 10 different medications, for anxiety, for depression, for, asthma, for heart because my heart was going out of whack at that time, and all different kinds of meds.
Yeah.
And the doctor was like, if you don't do something about your weight, you will die, and you will die like your mother. And I'm like, what? No. I don't know why he said that, but that was like, I was mad at him that time. I was really mad at him at that time, and he's no longer my doctor, but I'm happy that he did that, to be completely honest. He yeah. scared the crap out of me.
He gave you that, he gave you that push.
Whew, yes, he did. And at the time, like my entire, since we didn't know the reason behind why my mom passed away of a heart attack, because there was no warning signs, my brother and me and anybody related to my mom had to go and get a heart exam.
Yeah.
And they found, thank God, because three of my mom's sisters all had blockages. My brother was fine, but I had at the time, it has corrected itself now, which I don't understand, but I actually had where the top two valves of my heart were open. It was a web.
Yeah.
So, which explained why I was having all those really weird arrhythmias with my heart. But yeah, it was that kick in the butt I totally needed. Yeah. So,
how old was your mom when she passed?
She was 49. We were getting ready for the 50 party.
She was young.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing, like, for somebody that never had to go to the doctor because she was never sick, the only weird thing before she passed away is for some reason her iron levels were so low that she had to have a blood transfusion. But either than that, no symptoms, no signs, no nothing. Okay. So it was a day.
Yeah, that's crazy. Like, she was so young to pass from something that just kind of came on just all of a sudden and nobody knew that it was coming.
Oh yeah, it's devastating. You know, she's been gone. She died 2007, so she's been gone a while. But yeah, just to think that you can anytime, you never know. So
yeah,
which has also pushed me to live the fullest life I possibly can. So
yeah. So what did you do when the doctor told you that you needed to drop some weight? What did you first do after that?
Well, denial.
Of course.
I went through like all the grieving sign, like all the grieving things. You know, like I was still trying to process my mom's death at the time. I was in therapy. It took probably a good 6 months to a year to finally kick my butt into shape.
Yeah.
And only, you know, I didn't do it the right way, I'll be completely honest. I did a lot of overeating and a lot of binging and purging and things like that, and also not eating. I didn't do it the right way because I was scared so much that I was like, I just got to get the weight off. I just got to do whatever I would yeah. can do. I know it was wrong now, but it was something at the time I did. And because I did that, it messed my stomach up so much. Yeah. I have lifelong ulcers now because of it. But it's just, you know, it's sad how I started, but I learned my lesson and started researching after. It was probably a year after I got that horrible conversation with my doctor that I actually did it the right way and started losing weight. So
what did you end up doing? You say you were researching, like what were you researching and like what did you end up starting to do after like the year later?
So when I went on to Weight Watchers, that was like the first thing that I actually did because it was, to me, it was like the program out there at that time that was most researched, most found to do it a certain right way. Mm-hmm. And I did Weight Watchers after I stopped being silly about how I was going about the weight loss. And it worked for me. I did get down to, at the time, I probably believe it was like 215 pounds. So I did lose weight
yeah.
with Weight Watchers, but then I plateaued for almost a year and a half after that. I mean, and I stayed on Weight Watchers, and then I was like, no, I'm going to try another one because this is not working. So I did, you know, I did Weight Watchers, I did counting calories, I did keto, I did vegan, I went all over the place after I plateaued for a year. Yeah. But I was trying to figure out what is going on, like why. And I even went back to the doctor thinking maybe there's something with my thyroid that's wrong. Maybe I'm having issues with another disease I don't know about. And basically for a whole year, I could not, the scale would not budge.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was kind of all over the place. So
I agree with you about Weight Watchers. I think Weight Watchers is great. I think Weight Watchers is great to a point, and it works for, yeah. It works for most people. But for me, I've done it. And I did it mostly because they had that community aspect with the meetings. And I like that. Like the points thing was kind of like iffy for me because like you could easily manipulate like points and stuff like that. But I think that just for that community aspect and that accountability, I love that. And that's what I go for now when I go for accountability is getting like, and that's why I go to Instagram or Facebook or something like that to get that accountability from somebody else to be like, this is what I'm doing. You know, call me on my BS if I start to slip.
And I think for beginners, like Weight Watchers is great because you don't really have to think about it. You do, but you don't. Everything's set up for you. But the thing that, like, I have nothing but good things to say about it. But the thing that I found myself doing is, oh, I can have an ice cream bar and it's 3 points. So instead of like eating that healthy food that I should be eating to now I know that fuels my body, I was more going for, hey, you know, I can still have this because I can and whatever. And I think that is probably why I plateaued so bad is because I didn't really take into consideration like the information behind what the whole program's about. Mm-hmm. It was more like, here it is, you do it and you're good. And I think that's where it stalled, to be completely honest. But I think as a beginning program, I have nothing but good things to say about it.
So. I agree.
Mm-hmm.
So, what did you end up settling on after? Like, okay, let's talk about this. So, like, you were in a plateau for a year. What ended up taking you out of the plateau?
I did what I'm doing actually right now. I took bits and pieces from every program that I and everything that I researched out on the internet, because there is a huge internet out there. Mm-hmm. It's just have to depict what is actually healthy and what's not. Dieting and weight loss is not a fat diet. You can't just like grab something and say, okay, I'm gonna do it. Your body changes, your body gets used to what you're doing, hence the plateau. But I took little bits and pieces from every program that I love, like for instance keto. Keto is great and I love keto, but I love the intermittent fasting that sometimes gets put into place with keto. Mm-hmm. So took that intermittent fasting from that.
Yeah.
Weight Watchers, I took the fact that, you know, the healthy vegetables and fruits that you should be getting, I took it from that. Then I found MyFitnessPal, and that's how I started tracking things, which is kind of what you do with the Weight Watchers. You kind of track what you eat. So I took that from that. You know, I learned about healthy lean meats. I learned about, you know, green vegetables versus all the other colors and things like that. Mm-hmm. So I took it from that. I learned, for me personally, I was diagnosed with hypoglycemic. So, and I produce too much insulin, which makes my sugar drop. And so I have to eat. I can't be that person that eats only one meal a day and be okay. Yeah. I have to eat 3 meals a day. I have to have a snack in there because I have to maintain my blood sugar.
Yeah.
If I go high, I will go low really quick. Yeah. So I took little bits and pieces from everything that I researched and then made something for myself that worked for myself. And I started implementing different type of exercise. Yeah. So as soon as I did all that, whoo, it started going again. So
I'm over here shaking my head because like your whole thought process is about taking little pieces of every diet. I have literally done that now. And that's what I'm doing now is that I've tried vegetarianism, veganism. I've tried keto, paleo, Weight Watchers. I've tried all of them, and I'm like, and I've tried intermittent fasting, and I've tried all this stuff, and I've slowly made this toolbox of stuff that I use on a daily basis. Like, I use Lose It for my tracking, because I've tried my FitnessPal, but I found that Lose It was something I used before, and I felt like this is what I need to use again. And so I've taken little bits and pieces of everything that I've ever tried, and I've put them together, and it works.
It does. And that's the thing, like, something that you do will not work for me.
Yeah.
And vice versa. And I think a lot of people out there, with all the information that they're getting, and I get a lot of questions, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? I can tell you kind of what I'm doing, but it might not work for you as it works for me.
Exactly.
It's just, you got to be so in tuned with your body and how your body reacts. And for instance, I know that I can't eat fruit in the evenings. I know I can't.
Yeah.
It spikes my blood sugar. It's not good for me. But I can have them in the morning, and I can have them at lunch, because I know that if it does spike, I have something coming to be able to react with that.
Yeah.
So, I think that's the thing that has worked for me now, because when I got that plateau going, and I started losing, I lost, and I got down to what my lowest weight was probably 2 years ago, which was 156 pounds.
Yeah.
And then I went on vacation and ate and had fun. And then a lot of changes have happened in my life since then, to where I had gained most of that back. So I'm in a different mindset now than when I got off that plateau, because in my mindset back then, it was, I'm only worrying about the physical and what I'm putting in my body. I'm not worrying about my mental health. Yeah. And I'm on a new game now than I was back then, but I was excited because I got off the plateau and I'm losing again, So rock on, let's do this.
I think that mental health and mindset, I think that's, most people know this, but Daryl's my coach. So like a lot of times that I've talked to him, I worked with mindset first before I even started to try to lose weight again. Like, I wanted to work on everything that had to do with mindset and then build up from there. And now I'm at this point where I'm actually actively losing it, and it's seamless. Like, I don't have to worry about anything. It's like no mental energy used to do this weight loss journey now. And now it's like everything's automatic, and I just run with it.
Exactly. And I think that's I say that my weight loss is in three phases. Like, the first one was obviously when I was at my heaviest and I started going, but I didn't have anything. I had a therapist, but my therapist was more worried about my anxiety with my mom and et cetera than about my weight loss journey. That was just another thing I was going through. And so that was like phase one. And then phase two was when I hit after that plateau. And now I'm actually on, I feel like, phase three. And there may be a phase four, I don't know, but I feel like phase three, I am a totally different person. I am a totally different person in mindset and my mental health and my personal development. And I feel like that, setting those things up, is a game changer when it comes to this. Because I know what I need to eat. I know what works for my body. I have absolutely no problem working out. You can tell me go run and I'll be like, all right, bye. I have no issues with that. I know those two things, but when it came to the mental health and the personal development, that's where I was lacking. And I think that's where phase one and phase two didn't really work out for me. But phase three is like full on, I got this. I'm doing things that I don't even have to, like you said, don't even have to think about.
Yeah.
And I'm building more of like a better independent self-worth than I have ever had before. And the weight is like second nature. It's just, it's going.
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about it. Well, I love it.
Well, me and you on the same phase, because like I'm in the same mindset shift as you. Like, my first phase was I lost weight. Like, I was at my heaviest and I lost weight. And then, like, the second phase was kind of like this in between where I had no clue who I was. And now this third phase is like mindset's on point, like all my food's on point, and I'm just gonna run with it. So like it's amazing how like this weight loss journey goes into phases.
Exactly. And it's such a different, I'm enjoying the journey,
Yeah.
where before I was so stressed out about the scale, like it would put me in anxiety attacks. But now I'm enjoying it. I'm more mindful of what I'm fueling my body with. I'm enjoying things. I mean, I will, I love beer. I love wine. I don't want to deprive myself of those things,
Of course
but I
not.
know if I know that I have those, I know that I need to maybe go an extra mile just to, half and half here, give and take. Or, I need to watch, I need to make sure I have a balance in my life is basically what it is. And, like today, I've been craving ice cream lately. Now, is full fat ice cream going to help me? No. But I found an alternative that I can still get that taste. I can still satisfy that want, but do it in a healthier way. There's alternative. You can get, fat free, what is it? Whipped cream,
Yeah.
or like little Halo bars that are like 60 calories for a Halo bar, but a lot of protein. I can satisfy that craving, but not overindulge.
Yeah,
So it's
exactly.
only about balance.
Yeah.
And yeah.
No, I mean, I agree with you because somebody asked me the other day, they're like, because I think I said something in my story about I eat the same things every day. Like I literally eat the same breakfast, the
Two.
same lunch, the same dinner. Pretty much Monday through Friday. I think on the weekends I kind of switch it up to eat something different, but I literally eat the same things every day. And they're like, "When do you have a cheat meal?" I was like, "I don't ever have to have a cheat meal because it's not a cheat meal for me. Like it's just like a meal."
Exactly. And that's the thing, like I'm glad that you said that. Like I'm the same exact way. I eat the same exact meals every day. And a lot of people ask me, aren't you tired of it? I'm like, no, because I plan out what my meals are. I plan meals that I enjoy. I don't
Yeah.
dislike. I love my little, I have a protein shake in the morning and an amazing like Jimmy Dean's egg sandwich thing, and
Yeah.
I love it, but I can still
Yeah.
have lose weight, So that's the thing. Like I eat what I love. Now, if I get tired of it, which normally it's like maybe every 3 weeks, I'll switch things up and have the same thing for every meal. Maybe in 3 weeks, I'll switch it up a little bit because I do tendency to get tired of things, but I eat the same thing. It's so easy though. That's the thing. It's so easy to know what I'm gonna have and be okay with what I'm having,
Yeah.
but I always enjoy myself. So yeah.
I just think that as human beings, we typically eat the same 5 to 6 meals in a given week. So like it's nothing about you don't have to switch it up every day or every other day 'cause you're tired of eating the same thing. Like I think I've talked to Daryl about this and like Daryl eats the same things for like 2 to 3 days and then he'll switch it. But like if that's what you want to do, that's fine, but for me, I save time by not doing that. I save time by
Exactly.
just doing the whole week and not having to worry about it.
Exactly. Like that's the thing. Like I have the same exact meals every day for the entire like the week.
Yeah.
Okay. So then on Saturday and Sundays, like for instance, Fridays I allow my I count calories. That's what I
I
do.
do too.
And like I trick my body so I don't always have the same calories every day. Except for on Fridays and Saturdays. And I allow myself to have extra calories on those days because I found out that those are the days that I'm binging more
Yeah.
and wanting those chips. But see, when I have chips, I don't just have a little handful, I have the entire bag. That's the problem with my binge eating. So I noticed that's the pattern. So what I have allowed myself to do is, yeah, if I want chips, as long as it's in the certain amount of higher calories that I have on those 2 days, then I'm okay with that. But then that's making me more conscious about what I'm eating.
So
And
you mostly have like certain days where you have so much, and then on the weekends you bump it up a little bit more. So you're
exactly.
still in a deficit, but you just have less calories during the week and then a little bit more during the weekends, so you can kind of bump it up a little bit more.
And then like Sundays are more of my, okay, I'm gonna have to get back into a routine on the weekend. So Sunday is where I kind of turn it back a little bit
That's
and
smart.
start to track that. Which is actually everything, like the way I'm doing it now is Monday and Wednesdays are exactly the calories I'm needed to lose a certain amount of weight during the week. Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Sundays are less calories, but I also implement that intermittent fasting on those days. Yeah. So for instance, for me, I will have lunch and dinner and a snack in the evening, but I have a lower calorie content. And then Fridays and Saturdays, I bump them up because I know I'm at home more. I'm not doing anything more. And I get a little bit more bored, which all plays into my binge eating. But I make sure that I'm still in the same calorie content, but I up those because I know that's what I need. So yeah. I literally trick my body every day. It never knows what it's going to get. And I think that has actually helped move the weight along.
Yeah.
So,
And that's smart though, because you're essentially playing with numbers. Like you're not, for me, everything's across the board the same, but for you, it's like, there's levels to like how little or how high your calories are per day. So like you kind of do like a calorie cycling and you just have different ones every day.
Exactly. That's exactly what I do. But you know, it's something that I've learned about myself and I've taken in consideration. This is what I need to do if this is how I want to eat. Now, you know, I there's calculators online. There's one calculator that I go by. But I don't even actually stick to strictly that one. Yeah. Like I've been like, no, this is an information. This is a base. This is not exactly what I'm going to do. But I just needed to know number wise, what is right for my height, my body, my height, my body and my, age. That's the other thing. Gotta love age. And I just take those informations and then I calculate it into what I want to do and what works for me. Now, if I'm losing too much, I'll bump the calories up. If I'm losing too little, I will play with the calories a little bit there. But calories, it's all about calories in versus calories out. Yeah. Every diet like that, it's just a matter of what works for you. And to me, that's what has worked for me. So,
no, I totally agree with that because And I had to realize this once I started working with Daryl was that calories are everything. Like when it all comes down to it, like, and I didn't realize this, like once I lost weight the first time, I realized that. And then I kind of lost that whole mindset. And then when I started working with Daryl again, back in August, I realized that that's the way that I'm going to lose weight was it's got to be about calories. It's got to be about how much protein you're getting in and then everything else is filled in. And that's, exactly. And that's what I had to realize that.
Uh-huh. And I work with Daryl too. I do the,
precision nutrition.
Yes. Thank you. The words were it out. He approached me and he's like, I know, all this stuff, but I think this would be good for you for accountability. And I was like, you're totally right. But I'm learning a lot more than I actually knew. Mm-hmm. And it's just to me, like you mentioned before, a toolbox, like you're constantly filling your toolbox of things. And, that was one of the main things is like calories in versus calories out will always get you every time. But you also have to look at like what you're putting into your body versus, I could sit here and eat crummy food and still get into my calorie content, but I will not be able to fuel my body to be able to run or walk or exercise. It's all about what it is you eat. And that's when you take a look at the whole picture instead of like just the little things. It means more when you're putting the right food into your body. So
exactly, but you also can deprive yourself. You also need to make sure that if there's something that you have wanted for 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, then you might want to have it because if it's still nagging at you, then supposedly you want it that bad that you can't stop thinking about it.
Oh yeah, like the ice cream that I just bought. I have been craving it. But see, in order for me not to binge or to overeat or any of that kind of stuff, instead of going to good old, DQ or whatever and thinking, hey, I can get a DQ because I'm craving it. Mm-hmm. No, I want that. But to me, it's not important enough to me to go there and do that and waste everything I've built. Yeah. It to me means more to me to go and find these really cute little Halo bars that are chocolate chip cookie and still have it, not deprive myself, and get that sensation. Because in all honesty, it's just the sensation that I'm wanting. It's the feeling and the emotion behind the ice cream. It's not the actual ice cream itself.
Yeah, you just want the texture of the creaminess of the ice cream, but you're not actually wanting straight up ice cream.
I don't want ice cream out of a carton. I want just the sensation and the feeling that I get behind the ice cream. And if that little bar will fulfill that feeling that I'm getting of happiness when I'm eating it, I would rather do that than get a 500 calorie ice cream and screw my entire day up. It's not worth it to me, which comes a lot into that whole mindset play. So.
Exactly. There's a book that Nikki told me about a long time ago. I can't remember the name of it. I'll just have to put it in the show notes, but I think it's about like how different food and like the texture of the food, it's what you crave. Like I can't remember the name of the book. Maybe I'll remember it before we get off the call here, but like the book is brilliant. But it literally tells you, like, if you're wanting something salty or you're wanting something like sweet or creamy, or like it's all about like what you're craving, and it's like, and certain things are tied to emotion, essentially.
And that's the thing, like with the emotional eating and the binge eating and stuff like that I have, it's the emotions behind the food, which it took a long time for me to actually realize that's what it was. It's not the actual food.
Yeah.
It's not. It's the feeling of what that food gives you. And, you know, a beer makes me happy. Like, I don't drink to get drunk. I'm not that kind of person. I drink because I love the feel of it. I love the feelings of hanging out and being social and that thing, like being on a hot day and having a cold beer. Yeah. Will I overindulge? No, I know my limits and whatever, but that's the whole point, is there's an emotional attachment to certain foods, like ice cream for me, or pizza. Love pizza, yeah. But I can't go and have a whole thing of pizza because it's going to throw my entire thing off. But if I have a couple pieces to actually, which I'm going to a pizza place today, I decided I'm going to have a salad as my first thing I eat, because that is getting the nutrition that my body needs. And then I'm going to make sure that I have two pieces of pizza. Now, granted, they're not huge pieces, but they're enough to get that sensation, that feeling that I get when I eat the pizza, you know, and that right there will subside all the emotional stuff that goes along with it. But then, you know, it's fun and I get to treat myself with that.
The book is called Life is Hard, Food is Easy, The 5-Step Plan to Overcome Emotional Eating and Lose Weight on Any Diet. That's the name of the book. And it's by Linda Spangle.
Yes. Okay. I'm writing that down as we speak, because I would love to actually, my normal job, I do behavioral therapy with kids with autism, and I'm actually reading Atomic Habits right now, which it's
that's
crazy.
That's a great book.
I'm not even through with it, and I've got to slow myself down because I actually want to like make sure I'm absorbing the information. Mm-hmm. But I really love the whole habits and your mindset and behaviors that you have a lot to do with how you eat and how you, your activity levels and things like that. And so like, I love learning about the psychological things behind stuff. So I write that book down that you mentioned, because I will definitely learn. I will add that to my personal.
Yeah. It's called Life is Hard, Food is Easy.
Life is Hard, Food is Easy. Yes. Thank you.
But there's a lot of, I've spent a lot of time this year, like even like at the beginning of the year, reading anything like psychology wise. Like I read, what was it, The Body Keeps a Score, just because I wanted to like really realize the mind and the body and how they're connected. And I really like dug into that, mostly in January and February, but I dug into that a lot.
Oh yeah. Like the Atomic Habits, I'm reading that right now, and it has completely changed my whole outlook on my habits, which is actually like helping me with my ultimate goals. So I'm setting smaller habits and smaller things that now they're so second nature to me that I don't even think about the fact that I am making sure I take my vitamins every day and brushing my teeth and doing things like that, that, you know, it sounds kind of silly, but it's things that are leading me to an ultimate goal. And I don't have to, it's like second nature now. And that book to me is just, whoo, opened my eyes. And then I don't know if you've heard of the book, it's called Make Your Bed.
I just read that. Before we got on the call, I just finished the audiobook of it. So I just listened to it.
Okay. So like I listen and look at a lot of personal development stuff on YouTube. And I came across his speech and I went, whoa. And then I didn't realize that there was a book. So I'm actually reading the book and I'm not very far into either book. I'm probably halfway of both of them, but like things like that, I've looked for books that are going to change my thinking and that are going to just add to my toolbox and make things like eye opening for me.
Yeah.
So yeah. Oh, I'm very big on personal development.
Yeah, Atomic Habits is like, I think that book came out either the beginning of last year or like the close to the end of 2018. Like, but I remember when that book came out because I remember James Clear because I was like, okay, I heard this name before, and I think I was like a subscriber to his blog, and then once I realized the book was the same from the same person, then I immediately got the book, and I usually reread it like every 6 months, so I've read it multiple times.
I'm really excited to be able to reread this book after I already, because you always miss stuff when you first read a book.
Oh yeah.
So, but yeah, I've never really been big on personal development, but when I found that personal development can fuel every aspect of your life, it has just opened my eyes. So, you know, I've got his book. I've got Girl Wash Your Face. Obviously Rachel Hall is one of my favorites, and I could go on with a list. I have all my books sitting in my desk. But you know, like for right now, Atomic Habits has actually helped me with my third phase of my weight loss. So I'm excited to read all of it, but I gotta, you know, pace it out a little bit. So.
Oh yeah. But that Atomic Habits is a great book. Like the problem with a lot of self-development and self-help books is there's a lot of fluff in them, and that book does not have any fluff. Like it's like from top to bottom, like it's anything you can use in your daily life. And there's a lot of books that just like give you a couple things to use, and then the rest of it's like, oh, I knew all that stuff already. But that one gives you a lot.
I think that it gives you a little bit of like a story, but then it gives you the actual scientific facts. And I kind of like that because it gives me, okay, here's the fluff, but then this is the reason why. And I love that.
Exactly. So what are you up to now, like going forward? What's on Jody's plan for the next year?
I don't know if you know about my Instagram thing. I always have a countdown. I don't know why. It's just something I've
motivation,
always
motivation, that's what it is.
I think that, you know, honestly, I think that is. And I've always asked, a lot of people have asked me, why do you have a countdown for? And I think it's just one of those accountability things. But going forward, definitely still going with the accountability and the personal development side of this weight loss journey, because I want it to be permanent this time instead of I'm going to do this and then screw up and keep going and, you know, have a fourth phase, which I'm sure it'll come. But keeping going forward, I want to have a relationship with my weight loss journey and my nutrition habits and my lifestyle. This is to me more of a lifestyle change than anything. But I want to, life is short. That's the thing. Life is unexpectable. It's unexplained. It's short. And I don't want to be, hopefully live till I'm in my 80s or 90s or whatever. I don't want to look back at this time and think that there's so much I could have done. And one thing is obviously I want to be healthy to be able to live that long. Yeah. And going forward, I mean, I have goals for this week. I have goals for today. I have goals for a year. I have goals and goals, but ultimately I want to live every day to my fullest. I want to be happy with the person I am. I want to, I don't want to be that person that regrets anything. I want to live my life to the fullest because I know that if my mom was still alive today, she would be doing the exact same thing. She always did that. She always taught me and my brother that life is too short. Live every day to the fullest, give your gratitude, and make sure that everyone in your life knows that you love them and that you only want the best for them. And so going forward, obviously I'll still be on this weight loss journey. but I hope this time it's a different experience than any other times I've tried.
Yeah.
So yeah, definitely. Well,
I hadn't been following you that long, but I've seen like the progress that you've made over the last year or so, and you're killing it. So just keep doing the same thing you're doing.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. It's a different game, and I love it. I'm so happy. Like, I'm happy with the way I feel, and I'm happy with just the small progress. I'm not as fast as I was before, but it's okay.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that, you know? I'm in love with the process.
Oh, I'm glad you said that. That's
Thank
my
you.
Favorite thing is chasing progress. It's not about like getting to a certain number or like getting to an end goal, because overall there's no end goal.
There's never an end goal to weight loss and healthy journey. No, it's a ongoing process. It's a lifestyle. It's not, I'm going to get to this goal and then I'm going to eat as many calories as I can. No, it's changing.
Or I'm going to get to this goal and I'm going to be happy.
Exactly. Because you're not. There's always going to be something that you have to, when you get to the weight that you might like, if that's what you want, you've got to maintain it.
Exactly.
If that's what you want, you know, it's a never ending story. And I think that's the thing, that I was chasing that end goal for so long. And to be honest, there's not an end goal. There is this is my life. This is not, I'm going to get here and be happy. No, because I could get there. But no, every day is a choice. Every day you have to choose your happiness, and you have to love it.
Yeah.
If you don't have a good relationship with what you're doing and yourself, you're not going to get where you want to go. You've got to learn what your body says. You got to learn how your body works. You got to learn how to mentally prepare yourself for disappointments. But you also have to take those disappointments, instead of draining yourself on them, you have to take them and inspire yourself and fuel your fire to do better next time.
Exactly.
So yeah, definitely.
Well, I appreciate you coming on. I know this was, we've been trying to do this for a little bit, so I appreciate you taking time out of your Sunday to talk to me.
By all means, I absolutely love doing this. I love talking to people, and I love being able to, what I always say to people is that if there is one person that listens to me and either smiles or happy or fuels their fire, I'm doing what I need to be doing. And I appreciate your time. Thank you.
I want to thank Jody for coming on, and just, this was a lot of fun. Like, this whole episode was a lot of fun to record, because I'm going to be honest with you, I was kind of nervous to talk to her, because I didn't know where it was going to go, like the conversation, and it went in every direction that I could hope it was going to go into. So like, I had a lot of fun recording with Jody. She shared a lot. She was very vulnerable and honest with a lot of stuff that has gone on with her life. And I just really enjoyed this conversation, and I'm hoping to get on her podcast and kind of share my story and have more conversations with her, because she's very cool and she's very knowledgeable. And me and her have had kind of the same weight loss journey. And in the episode, we talk about like phases, and we're both kind of on the same phase of weight loss, and we're both enjoying it. So I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I really enjoyed recording with Jody. If you want to follow Jody on Instagram, you can follow Jody on Instagram at losing more of Jody. That's losing more of _Jody. If you want to follow me on Instagram, you can follow me on Instagram at Willie Gillis. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns for the podcast, you can email me at whatiloopforpodcast@gmail.com. And that's going to be it for this episode. This episode was actually supposed to be a break, but then I told Jody that I was going to release this today because I wanted to put this out as soon as possible. So there goes that break that I had for June. So I hope you guys enjoyed this episode, and I will see you next week.